When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel, presented by Monticello Bank. Nick Roush here with Adam Lucky to get you ready for the Cats and the Vols Saturday night at Kroger Field. And Lucky, I'm feeling a little bit of deja vu all over again. We've been in this situation before where feels like there's a lot on the line. And it's like, oh, this is a big moment. Is Kentucky going to get it done? And I'm just hoping and praying I don't get my heart broken again.
It wouldn't be Tennessee week without it. But eventually, Nick, they're going to beat this team in a matchup like this, and that's going to make the victory even sweeter. But it's one they really need to win. I looked it up today. Nick, Mark Stoops is 1-8-1 against the spread against Tennessee in his Kentucky coaching career. He has never covered in Lexington. Of course, the only time they covered was the win down in Knoxville as a 6-point dog. So this has just been, I mean, they've been snake bitten against this bunch. Even since the streak ended, they've only won, they're 2-in, I believe, 9 since the streak ended. And a lot of those times, Nick, like this is the first time Kentucky won't be at least a favorite in this game in Lexington since 2015. So this has been a game at home where they've laid points, you know, all small numbers. And then 2021 ended up being a PK down by kickoff. But this is normally a spot where we enter this game thinking Kentucky is a better team, at least in the matchups in Lexington. So this time it's not like that. Kentucky's catching 3.5 right now. That line's stayed steady, but there's no denying how big of the game and the magnitude of it. They really need to win in the worst way right now. The season is going to be determined a success or a failure for them with what happens on Saturday night. In my opinion, unless they go and pull off a big upset later in the schedule, and I think for Tennessee it's kind of that way too, because their season is not looking super great if they lose on Saturday night in Lexington with a road game with Missouri still on the schedule, a home game with Georgia still on the schedule. And so it's a big spot for both teams.
And it's time for the Cats to cash in, and you can cash in at Monticello Bank. Monticello Bank, they've been in business for 128 years. This is where people matter. They're putting people first to get the numbers on your side to get the best deal possible. Whether you need to get a home loan, you're going to get a new car, or just try to plan for retirement, Monticello Bank, they'll get you covered with 21 branches in 14 different counties across the Commonwealth. You can also bank anytime at nbcbank.com or by downloading the GoNBC mobile app. Monticello Bank, where people matter. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Look at you brought it up. You know, there was, after last year's season with the Vols, they just kind of expected to keep climbing, right? Like, we had Heisman Trophy hopes for Joe Milton in the preseason. He was going to be the king of college football, the best quarterback in the history of God. Even though a lot of those were lofty expectations, I think they anticipated that they would be in the college football playoff conversation every year at this time of the year. And that hasn't been the case. Now, they ground out a win at home against A&M, but got humbled at Alabama. And if you look at it, as bad as things feel, the teams are in the same spot in the SEC standings, right? They're 2-2. They both got a loss that they don't want. For the Vols, it's on the road at Florida, a team they feel like they should be better than. And for Kentucky, it was at home against Missouri. But there's still a lot of games to be played. For Kentucky, you have some winnable ones on the stretch. Tennessee, this feels like one of those that they definitely wrote a W down on their calendar. When they picked up their posters from Kroger at the start of the season, Vol fans, they assumed that this one was going to be a win. And you can't blame them for the way that this series has gone, but that it would go a long way to not only galvanize some love from your own fans across the Big Blue Nation, but also to keep Tennessee down and remind them that, like, hey, you had a good year, but you aren't going to be perennial playoff contenders, Vols. You're not. Just that was a fun time. How many 10-win seasons have they had since 98? I think two, I want to say.
Yeah, something along those lines. I think they might have had one in 01, that team that would have played Miami in the championship that lost to LSU in the SEC title on a big upset.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, kind of the birth of Nick Saban in that game. But, yeah, Nick, I mean, this is rivalry football. Like, both sides have a chance to send a rival in a tailspin in this game and shove it in their face. Tennessee's done a lot of shoving Kentucky fans' face. You know, I don't know. You know, it was pre-Twitter and all that, but I don't know, like, that Tennessee got that excited about beating Kentucky in the past, but they sure as hell has gotten excited about this win in the last decade. And they've let Kentucky people know about it. And that's been a tough pill to swallow. So in a season where a lot of fans have gotten impatient, upset, this would be a nice, hey, here you go. You know, we're giving you this one here.
Yeah.
Sorry for your troubles. This would be a good one to deliver on. Will they do it or not? We'll find out. But I do, there are a lot of, this fan base is down in the dumps right now.
Yeah, big time.
Like, their high school sweetheart just left them. Their dog, Lucky, just died. Nothing good has got, like, we are at, in this fan base, I feel like people are acting.
They poured themselves a drink and they spilled it all over the place, you know? Like, it's just, nothing can go right.
They got up to work and forgot their umbrella. It's pouring down rain. The fan base is acting like, we are definitely acting like, you know, this is like the end of times or something.
Yeah, that Kentucky's never going to win a game ever again.
Yeah, this is as low as I think I've seen this football fan base since I started covering the team, which would have been 2018. It's like the only thing I can really compare it to right now, I could be wrong, but in the Stoops era, because when they lost to Vandy last year, they weren't upset, they were mad.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a difference in that.
Well, in the same thing too, back in 2016, when there was like a lot of like, Stoops the right guy for the job.
To me, that's the lowest I think they've been since the Southern Miss Florida debacle to start 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. Because and then there was at least some more anger. But yeah, that I would have to go back that far. And a lot of it, you're right, it's not even the like, there's just a dread, a sense of just like, oh my God, this team, it's the worst thing ever. And I think it's just because we were finally expecting this passing game to work. And it is not. And the reason why it's looked so bad at times is because so much emphasis was put on the passing game. And it's been a failure. And part of it too, like, it is normally you'd blame the new OC. I mean, it was easy to do that with Skang. I mean, that guy was like, what the hell is he doing out here?
Yeah,
but we've seen it work with Liam, so we're like, how is this? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's like, that's why I think what Mark Stoops said on Monday, Nick, like, we have to put a pin in that statement. We are going to go back to that statement in 2026, and whether they thrived or didn't thrive, it'll be based on this. I mean, he has doubled down. He said, Liam Cohen, you are my guy. We're going to fix this offense. We're going to do it running the McVay-Shanahan scheme, and we're going to make it work here to hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either going to work here or it's not. You know, I don't think there's any pivoting from that. Like, they are committed. They're playing this. Pivot. They've been dealt the hand, and they're playing it no matter what cards come on the flop. They're playing this hand. And so we'll see if that works. But I do think it shows, one, conviction that he believes in this plan. Two, that he believes in Cohen. And three, they've seen the signs that good things are coming. Maybe they're not come this year, but they, in the future, they feel good about what this offense will be able to produce. So I think that's, like, to me, that was the most important thing he said. I think a lot of people are taking it out of context. Like, they're still going to run the football. This is still Mark Stoops football. They're still going to want to pound the rock, but they have to be able to throw the football to continue this growth and to get to this next step that everybody would like them to get to. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the current status of this team, Nick, a lot of teams have come from lower than where Kentucky's at and bounced back to have good seasons. Like, I feel like we talk about this team like they are like the worst, like one of the worst teams of the Stoops era. And that they just aren't that.
Especially because they have the defense, they have the running attack, but the passing on both sides, I think it just goes back to there's a little bit of deterioration with the passing game. Like, I mean, how many – we were having this conversation with Dorian Baker, you know, many moons ago. Hell, I wasn't even married when we were wondering when the wide receivers were going to catch passes, and now I got two little kids getting me sick. You know, like it's we've been through this a long time, so that probably plays a role in it. But you are correct. There's been much more dire straits that Stoops has recovered from, and that's why I think over the last 2 weeks we haven't seen much panic from him when he spoke with the media.
Yeah. I also wonder if people got helmet logo against Missouri.
Yeah.
Like, Missouri might end up being a top 15 team, guys. Like, they could just be having one of their once-a-decade years where they go and win 10 games, 10, 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Brady Cook's having this awesome season. Luther Burden might win the Biletnikoff. You know, look at their schedule. They get Tennessee, Florida at home to close the year. They go to Arkansas. You know, look at what Arkansas is doing right now. Like, they have a path to 9-3, possibly even 10-2. They're just having a historic year. And Kentucky was up 21-20 in that game. Should have gotten the ball back in the fourth quarter.
They crumbled
in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder if we're just – if I feel like we're overreacting to that loss in a big way. And I don't know if we would have overreacted to that loss if that was Lane Kiffin Ole Miss, essentially, if that played out. I think people have kind of gotten in their head that Missouri stinks. Kentucky's better than Missouri. Shouldn't lose like that to Missouri. We got pummeled by Missouri. Though just 3 weeks ago, this team hammered Florida at home.
Yeah.
A Florida team that just won at South Carolina. A Florida team that's 3-1 in SEC play. Yeah, a Florida team. Yeah. Florida team whose only losses are to Kentucky and a Utah team that just went to USC and won. And that's playing for a Pac-12 title in the last five games of the season.
Oh, they're talking about Billy Napier being back. It's a resurgence.
Yeah. I mean, go over to our Gators online board. They are they're talking themselves into winning this weekend in the cocktail party. Kentucky handled that team with relative ease.
Yeah.
So we do need to take a step back here. But with all that said, like a lot's on the table this week. Like a lot of chips are in the pot for Kentucky. Like they have to go and play well, and they need to go win this game.
And to Julian's point, I think we've gotten smarter as a fan base. And he said it was how we completely unraveled. It would have been the same if it were Ole Miss, in his opinion. But I think that that's the part that most people fear, is that there isn't some sort of you don't know where this team's grit, this team's ability to just with their perseverance, their mental toughness. Like, how can they do they have a counterpunch, right? Like, it's not what happens to you, it's how I react to it. They haven't played. I mean, that was the first time they've had a one-score game in the fourth quarter besides EKU getting a touchdown at one point. Like, it's been all blowouts. So you don't know how this team responds to adversity. And last year, that was a defining characteristic. Is they did not handle adversity well. They made self-inflicted mistakes. And so that's a big part of it. But I don't think that there's an inability to play through adversity.
It just means that
we haven't seen it. It doesn't mean that they can't do it.
I hear what Julian's saying, but some of that is the game within the game, right? You go down 21-20, you can't move the ball. punt, return. They get the ball at the 38, or they go up 28-20. They get the ball at the 38. You know, that's a top 15 offense you're just handing the ball to. So they go down and score. Kentucky responds, drives all the way back, gets the ball in the red zone, has a chance to make it a 35-28 game. And
the receiver falls down, interception.
And then their next score was another short field that they kick a field goal on. So, like, a lot of it was special teams inflicted wounds in that melt. I think we do need to recognize that. And we also need to recognize, like, the defense kept that team in the game in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Barry Brown fumbles, they get a stop, force a field goal, another short field, they force a field, they block a Mevis field goal. Like, they kept the team in the game, and they got a stop, and they didn't respond well to the tough PI call.
Yeah.
They almost played a flawless game in the third quarter to give Kentucky a chance to even win it there. And so that's the frustrating part, but, like, I think we do need to, we just have to look at it more, like, you have to look at it bigger than just the, like, we, you can't just look at a final score. Like, you do need to try to look at this bigger and what actually happened. And I just think if you watch that game and you, like, actually, like, if you really pay close attention to what happened drive by drive, play by play, there was a few things that happened to Kentucky that a few of them could have gone the whole other way. The punter throws a dime, the PI, the tough PI call, you know, Barry and Brown doesn't fumble and he cuts up field. He might be off to the races. So, I mean, but that's football. Football happens, and sometimes it can unravel on you like that. But that is a concern because what we heard Mark Stoops say, like, this team is not going to – what did he say? He's not going to tolerate
– us, like, not responding. Yeah.
Them splintering or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think effort's, like, this team's problem. Like, yeah. I think this team plays hard. It's just kind of figure – maybe they just have to figure out with this group how to win. And some of that might be the identity – switches on offense. And so maybe they're just going through growing pains right now. But I still think this is a good football team. And I don't think this team is going to go 5-7 or 6-6. I think 7-5 is definitely a possibility. Even if they lose Saturday, I think they'll figure something out and they'll end up going 7-5. But this is their last chance to really have a good season winning this game. And if you don't win this game, this season is going to be a disappointment. There's no denying that, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't know. People do forget that the last 9-3 team, those three losses, they were all in a row. And the last one was to a Tennessee team that was built much different than this one. We're going to break it down, but first tell you about our friends at Game Time, where you need tickets to go watch the Cats this Saturday. Should be a great night. I think the rain's going to hold off like it. Think so? And I think that means it's a great time to download the Game Time app. And find yourself a seat. You scroll through, you see all the different places to sit, whether you want to get Connor Stallion-style seats right there in the front row, or you don't mind going up top to the upper deck. Game Time, they'll get you a great deal wherever it is at Kroger Field, or if you want to go somewhere else. I know Nate Bargatze's coming to Rupp next year. You'll be able to get tickets to that show on Game Time, tickets to all kinds of shows, and it's a very simple app to use, so simple that even my dad knows how to use it, right? Like, if my dad can figure out how to put in promo code KSR, get $20 off, hit the button twice, boom, tickets on his phone. You can, too, with Game Time. So download the app or visit gametime.co, put in promo KSR, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase with Game Time. Look it. I got a feeling this is going to be a slobber knocker. This kind of stinks like an under, even though I know the last two games it's been like what? Two touchdowns and four plays for Tennessee.
I think we overreact to what happened last year. Because again, that game was a self-inflicted offense and special teams. Six times Tennessee got the ball at the Kentucky 40 or better. Scored 24 points in those drives. Like, of course you can't give what was the number one offense in college football. You can't give them short fields. Of course you're going to get a crooked number hung on you. They let Hyatt get behind them first drive, and they gave up a middle eight touchdown. But other than that, I thought Kentucky defensively played a fine game. You know, they weren't great, but they played fine enough. Where that effort, they really should have held that offense, I thought, to like 30-ish points. But it looked worse because of the field position differential. Mm-hmm. Now, the year before was, I mean, it was really bad. Kentucky was banged up in the front seven going into that game. But they got exposed. Their secondary got ripped to shreds. They didn't do a good job matching up personnel-wise, and it was bad. And they had a ton of missed assignments in that game. They missed it. Like, Tyrell Agee misses a tackle you can't miss on a screen, first play of the game. Goes for a touchdown. Yusuf Corker on the second touchdown bites on the bender and lets leave square all to himself on the deep ball. And then they have the P.I. on Tisdale that Brad White mentioned today at his press conference that I had forgotten about. That was kind of a bang-bang call. Could have gone either way. Vols get the call there, and they go down and score. And then some other things in the second half where they just kind of crumbled. But that's not the Tennessee offense they're going to see on Saturday.
Right, right. And Kentucky, I know, you know, say what you will, but Florida, they gobbled them up pretty well in that running game. And the only difference is that the way at which Florida operated was, you know, they liked getting kind of in bigger sets, right? More tight, condensed stuff. This, they're going to ask Kentucky to play out in open space. I do think that we are going to get some good news. Trevor Wallace spoke with the media after practice today.
Yeah, that telltale sign.
He's playing. That's what that means. Getting him back, that is crucial because nobody's better at playing in space than that guy. The safeties, they've not had the year we expected. And that's Trevin, we need you to make some plays before you get to that second level. Because, I mean, Maxwell Harrison, I believe, is still the team's leading tackler. Yeah. And he's not going to be anywhere near that action on Saturday. Those receivers are going to be lined up past the numbers. And they're just going to try to create mismatches. So, at least Kentucky's front seven is healthier than it has been. And being able to kind of pin their ears back, whether to stuff the run or just get after Milton's ass. Like, I do at least like that aspect of this game, and why I'm leaning towards like feeling like there's going to be an under. But on the opposite side, I mean, you can break it down. Like, the opposite side is what worries me offensively for Kentucky.
Yeah, speaking of Trevin Wallace in general, because Tennessee's pass game has struggled, QB run's been a big element for them. And that's, you could argue, the best thing they do is let Joe Milton keep the ball. He's averaging over 8 yards per rush. He has the best success rate of all the primary ball carriers by a wide margin. Like, that's the best thing they do. So Wallace in those light boxes is going to be big there. And Kentucky handling zone read actions is going to be important. Tennessee, this offense, traditionally, how you wreck it is have guys on the interior that can just cause havoc and mess up the max protects and handle double teams. This is a Deion Walker game. Like,
yep.
This is why Deion Walker's NIL check is probably not small, because this is where his value is in a game like this. So it's a big game, I think, for him and the defensive line in general that has played well, I think, for most of the season. Kentucky has stuffed the run very well. Florida, Missouri, they did. I thought even against Georgia, they fitted the run well. But this is a different challenge. But if you can take this run game away, it makes this offense easier to defend. And this year, even more so because of the deep ball threat. You mentioned earlier, Nick, Tennessee probably thought, like, that was it, 11-2. We're humming. We're here now. This is where we're going to be.
All that feels like 98. We're back.
But there's levels to this, and I think roster building kind of caught up to them here at receiver. You know, they Heupel inherited Cedric Tillman, Velus Jones, and Jalen Hyatt. And all those three of those guys were awesome and all NFL are getting guys. Drafted. Yeah. You know, I don't know if Jones is still playing at all, but Hyatt's involved as a rookie. Tillman's involved as a rookie. Like, those guys are going to probably play in the NFL for a little bit. Now they've had to rebuild it with their own recruits. They went out and got Brew McCoy. Brew McCoy, I believe, broke his leg against South Carolina, so he's done for the year, so he's out. Squirrel White's having a good year as a sophomore, kind of playing that slot position, which is their big number one receiver. That's who they throw. They look to throw too deep a lot. But they brought in Oregon transfer Dante Thornton to be kind of their deep threat that hasn't developed. He's got 3 drops and 15 targets. He's kind of gotten the situation where he's almost unplayable because of the drops. So they're going to some freshmen a little bit, and it's not, you know, there's growing pains with that. It's hard for true freshmen in this league to play, no matter the scheme, no matter anything. It's just you don't see what Berrien Brown and Dane Key did a lot last year, and that's why to come back to Kentucky, that's why this year is so daggum disappointing, is because they flashed as true freshmen, and they haven't taken the next step. And that's why, and that sucks, because that's not how you think it should work. If you're good as a freshman, you should continue to climb. You usually have the tough year one, and then year two is your bump, and then year three you take off.
Right, right.
And so that's disappointing. So run game is the biggest thing here. Like, I do think Kentucky is going to be able to run the ball on Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to hit some gashes. But efficiency-wise, they're going to get behind the chains if they get super run heavy, and they're going to create third and nines. So for me, this game all comes down to just Milton versus Leary. One of these dudes in the second half is going to make a play or two that ultimately makes a difference in the game, in my opinion. Whether it's Milton's legs, or he extends a play on a scramble, something like that, or Leary converts a 3rd and 12, or makes a big, small window throw, or Milton hits on a vertical throw. One of these two dudes is going to hit the big play. The scary part for me is that with Milton's running ability, he has more kind of two-way potential to change the game. And I think that's where Kentucky could find themselves in trouble. But I do kind of agree with you. I would lean under here, Nick. But, unless another team has a significant turnover advantage, or, you know, there's special team catastrophes on the other side, if the roles play even, I really do think this game's going to come in the fourth quarter. And it's going to be decided late. I don't, like, I see some 45-17 picks. I see some on the board. There's some people calling for Tennessee to get some 50 burgers. If you've been paying attention this year, Tennessee against Florida, that vaunted Florida defense that has gotten roasted outside of that Tennessee game by Kentucky, by South Carolina, they scored 16 points in that game, Nick. They scored an opening drive touchdown, and they didn't score a touchdown until garbage time in the fourth quarter.
So,
go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm just worried that the Kentucky defense is finally going to figure out Heupel, and then the offense is going to be too far behind to score 24 points a win.
That's my biggest on the table.
That is the part that I do not want Peak to clip this for next week, and then I'm just like dead inside because we could see this coming, we could feel it coming, because Tennessee's pretty good up front on that side of the line of
scrimmage. Their defense is legit, might be a legit top 15 defense this year. It's pretty good.
And I still go back to Skang last year saying after the game that it's like, well, we know that they like to get downhill and be really aggressive against the runs. We're going to run it right at them. It's like, what? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But that is the part that I worry, because not only do they have the guys, Barron and Pierce, but like they've got some experienced linebackers where, you're going to have to play around them, right? You don't need him to be Leary to be as efficient as Carson Beck, but you do kind of got to play towards the sidelines and then try to have your guys make some plays in space or throw over the top of them. And do I think that it's possible? Yeah. But there's not enough there that we've seen that gives me confidence that like Kentucky can do that on a consistent basis. Because can they go out and score early? Probably, yeah. Like, I could see them being up 10-3 at the end of the first quarter. But sustaining that, and when you get into those predictable passing situations, are you able to move the chains? Kentucky's really struggled on third down this year, both offensively and defensively. So that is my ultimate fear, though, that the defense does actually kind of keep everything in front, contain them, but the offense just can't get to 24 or 27 and to be able to get to this win.
Right, yeah, I think that's definitely on the table. It's a big week for both coordinators here.
Yeah.
You know, offense has not been good. Passing game's been pretty bad. You know, Liam Cohen comes out on Tuesday and says, you know, this is a rivalry. We got to play well. We got to be aggressive. We got to come out swinging. So that, and I think he feels that it's a big spot because I think he knows what you just said, Nick.
Like, yeah.
He knows his game is there for the taking. And it might not take a super effort from offense to get there, but they got to score some points. You know what I'm saying? They got to go out there and be able to score some points. So I think he knows that. And so figured out how to do that defensively. You know, White has given up 89 points to Heupel through two meetings. The first game was really, really bad. And you had MAs all over the place, and then you had MAs last year, especially early in the game. They have started horribly against this team. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can't start any worse than they started. Like, to me, that's kind of – if they come out ready to go early and get some stops, I think that could do them a world of good. But what have they shown us that they could do that? I don't know. But you're right. I do think, like, you just kind of have to look at this team closer. Like, 20 points against A&M where their defense just kept – A&M couldn't really do anything off it. So – they kept giving them opportunities, and one of those scores came off of a big punt return, that Tennessee got. They got like a real short field to even score one of those times. So you got to remember that. And then Bama, they just totally got – they played probably their best half of the season offensively, and then nothing in the second half.
Completely blanked.
So this is a flawed offensive football team that has struggled – against good defenses, specifically in the two games away from home, they've gone through very long stretches in the game. Bama, full second half, Florida, between middle of the first quarter till the fourth quarter, where they just couldn't do anything offensively. Penalties are big. They have, like, they have averaged more penalties per game than Kentucky does. They're like in the 120s. So that's been a huge deal for this offense as well. So I don't think Tennessee's going to go out and score 40 points in this game. I think it feels like a game, right? You're right. I like first one to 21, maybe first one to 24 probably wins this game. I think if in a game that breaks out like that, you'd have to think like Kentucky and their style play.
Right.
They're more comfortable kind of in that. But then again, this team hasn't been in a close game all year. So you don't know how they're going to handle if it gets into like where both sides are trading punches. You just don't know how they're going to handle that. And so that's going to be something interesting to like in the game to watch develop. But if Kentucky's the program you think they are, that we thought they were preseason, you think they are in general, a Tennessee team with this flawed of an offense, specifically passing offense, you should beat them at home. Nick, Josh Heupel's had 8 offenses since he started running like this version of the Art Briles-Veer and shoot offense.
Man, one of them didn't get a first down in an entire second half against Kentucky.
Well,
people forget that.
Derek Dooley was calling that.
It was Dooley? I thought that was Heupel.
Yeah.
Heupel, I think
you just have a block in your head that you like to just pin that on Heupel, which I don't think.
Come on. They're both Tennessee guys. Like, yeah, they're basically the same.
Yeah. So anyway. His offenses have finished top 20 in yards per attempt 5 of those years. And the other one was his first year at Mizzou when they were installing it, and they finished 33rd. This year, they're at 91 yards per attempt. Like, ooh. This is the worst passing offense he's had. You got to beat them. Like, they're vulnerable. You got to go beat them when they're down like this. You got them at home. This is an even game. Like, it's a very, like, both of these teams are very, very close to even. I think these defenses are close to a wash. And then offensively, you got to go.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Go beat them, Nick. You just have to figure it out. You got to go beat them. If you don't, it's a huge missed opportunity. And I think it's one of the, you know, you add it to a list of big missed opportunities in the series to beat Tennessee. You gotta go do that. And we talked about Stoops before, how they haven't won big home games. They kind of eliminated that.
The ESPN
years.
Primetime, though, like that, they've fallen flat multiple times as of late.
It's a big opportunity there in that window, but you got a chance here, Nick. 1977, the last year they beat Florida and Tennessee in the same season, and you could do them both at home. That's the kind of bleep that matters to people.
Yeah.
That's the kind of bleep that makes people forget about other stuff. You pay money to go to these home games, and if you win big games at home, that has a long-lasting effect. That's how you build fans. That's how you build a fan base. That's how you build Johnny Booster to say, here, let's go out and get that transfer receiver that we need. Like this, you got to win games like this. This is just, it's a really, 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 really important game. It's a game they should go in and expect to win. That's part of my, I think with, I get why people are upset, but I wish, people, we need to realize that. Like, they should win. We should go into that stadium, expect Kentucky to win. And I think a lot of people are going to go in there with their shoulders shrugged. And I just don't think that is the mentality they can have. But then again, it's the Vols, and then it's what we've seen the last 2 weeks. It's hard. I get it.
We've got an ESPN 7 p.m. kickoff, the Jesse Palmer, Katie George crew, but we've got a sub in for Tess.
I think it must be a big boxing match or something.
There is. I was watching the Tops last night, and the promos for it kept happening. It's the Gypsy King. What's his name? Big British.
Tyson Fury?
Yeah, Tyson Fury's fighting an MMA
guy. Yeah, Francis Ngannou, yeah.
Yeah, which I kind of... It's in, the middle of the day, though, so maybe, a KS bar before.
Do you think our... it's the middle of the day. I was going to say, do you think we need to call Evan and say, hey, can we buy this pay-per-view up here?
But, yeah, the undercard starts at 2 p.m., so it'll...
Yeah, we'll have to watch it at the bar.
Yeah. So we're getting Mike Monaco instead, who I've never... Or Mike Prince Monaco. Never heard of that guy before. So he'll be on the call.
That's a guy you're going to recognize his voice, because I think he does SEC, random SEC basketball games.
Okay. No, that's a different Mike. Mike, I like that guy because he's on that show that we call into, the XM show. You know what I'm talking about? Now I can't think of it. I know that guy's voice. I can even picture his face. I like that guy. He has a big shoe in his background whenever he's doing stuff from home. But I digress, because I want to go over to KS Board, where we got some questions from the crowd, and they're brought to you by our friends at Bird Dogs, where you want to look your best this college football season. You want to look your best at all times. So go ahead, upgrade your wardrobe at Bird Dogs and use promo code KSR when you make that first order to buy their stylish slacks that, it looks sharp. It looks sharp, whether it's the long pants or the shorts with the built-in liner. Like it. When I was in D.C. last weekend for my little bye week trip, wore the shorts with the liner. Great for the airport, because they got pockets with the zippers too. So you got the AirPods, you got your gun, you don't want to lose anything. We're walking around town. And then afterwards, the place we were staying at, guy had a hot tub, just jumped in the hot tub with him on. Bada boom, bada bam. There's versatility there. There's efficiency there. Try a pair today with Bird Dogs. We promise you will not regret it. And when you use promo code KSR, when you check out, you're going to get a Hydro Flask style water jug with your purchase. So go ahead, hop on the Bird Dogs train, birddogs.com/KSR or promo code KSR when you check out. DB18 asked over here at KS Board about how UK's offensive line holds up against the talented defensive line of UT. Does that matchup force UK into hitting some shorter, faster developing routes this week? I'd just like to start by saying, this might be the second time this year their projected starting five is actually going to be able to start. Because Horsey got hurt after week one, and you didn't even have Jagger playing guard then, too. You had him at center. So it's almost November, and once again, it might be your first time where you've got a fully healthy Kentucky offensive line.
Yeah, but they did the one thing people wanted and play more people, right? You get Dylan Ray a bunch of reps. You've gotten – Tanner Bowles has gotten some action. You've played Burton, center, and guard. Cortland Ford's played tackle. Yeah. This is what people wanted. They developed depth. Now back to the matchup. It's a concern. This Tennessee pass rush is a real deal. They've had over 20 pressures twice in a game so far. this year. They totally dominated the A&M game. Now, it hasn't really traveled, Nick. They struggled to get that pass rush ramped up both against Florida and Alabama on the road. Like, their two worst pass rushing games by far were away from home. So is that a problem? Is it without the crowd behind them rushing the passer? But I do think it's concerning. Kentucky had a lot of struggles with Missouri's twist game last week. And if you get in a situation where you're in third and eights, they could be in, Kentucky could be in trouble. But they've had a full, you know, an off week to kind of figure that out. But that is one of my bigger concerns, because that's the strength of Tennessee's team, is that front. James Pierce has been a borderline All-American as an edge rusher, a sophomore. Tyler Barron, the name people are familiar with here, is having a really good season, a career year. Aaron Beasley's potential All-SEC off-ball linebacker. Amari Thomas is a big, stout SEC defensive tackle. They've got a really good defensive front, and they've got depth. They play 7-8 guys. And so that is a concern, their pass rush, because they're going to – I would assume they watch the Missouri tape, and they're going to do some move and shifting. But less so than the other ones, because they really want to just let Pierce go. Like, let that guy just rush the edge.
Yeah.
Start to stay out of his
let
way.
Let him cut, right.
Yeah. Let him bend the corner. But it is – Kentucky's going to have to match up. I think for like guy like Marcus Cox, a big week. You know, NFL tape. This is a big boy edge rusher. He's going to get to go up against some. So it's a big game for him. But, yeah, I think it is concerning, specifically when Kentucky gets into obvious passing downs.
Yeah. So, and this gets me to another question that I think ties it in together from JT Davis, 25. Do we believe Stoops retooled the offense the bye week to move quicker and allow Leary to think less and just play? Because I think in theory that's kind of what you try to do your quick hitters. And you know what? Look, they've had games where they've done that, right? Where they're just like, let's throw some hitches, you know? Let's do some quick outs. And it's worked early. And then when they try to do that on early downs later on, drive stall and they get behind the chains. Because ideally, first down is your best time to pass, is your most efficient, but it's also your quickest way to get yourself into trouble if you can't throw and catch. So if Kentucky, like, I want you to put your Liam Cohen headset on right now. You get the sheet. You're going to sit in a seat up in the box. What is your – is there a quick fix? Is there a way to try to make this a little bit more comfortable? Because, like, all that really comes to mind for me is maybe a little bit more shotgun, right? Like, like, he doesn't have to think about his feet. It's just half field, boom, look to one side. If not, dump it off to Ray Davis and let him run.
Yeah. One thing good about being on a Kentucky beat, Nick, is that we get coordinators. It's not a thing for all the SEC schools. And typically in these coordinator press conferences, let me know if you disagree with me, they're less coach speaky. Like, we get more defined answers. And Cohen had some interesting, like, that was probably, to me, that was one of his more interesting press conferences of the year, was on Tuesday, with some of the stuff we got from him. One of them was, he went talking about, you know, we talked about the Michigan stuff and helmet, Mike in the helmet. And I asked him, you know, would it help if, is that why it's taking so long? Because you don't have the mic. And he said no, but he kind of said that it's been an issue, like getting the call in, Leary getting the call, reading it, getting out. He needs to go, like, he didn't say it, but he kind of bounced around it. I think that's been a problem. I think Leary kind of, he said they're not wordy, but they're more wordy than most off college offenses. So there is some, there is some vocabulary there you got to get out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been an issue. Like, to me, like that's probably a big part of the problem, I would imagine, is that getting the call in, getting the quarterback to read it, and getting it to the line. So that's been, I think, an unexpected long growing pain for them that's lasted a while. So I think that's been an issue. But Cohen also talked about, to build a thrower's confidence, maybe you got to, like, instead of running the out and ups, maybe we got to give him some easier throws over the middle or this or that. So I think, to your point, there's going to be probably more of that this week, I would imagine, unless he's just playing coy. But to me, like, I know you said, like, get him in gun. I think this week, like, center play action, specifically early, you should be able to sneak a tight end out or get somebody over the middle, because Tennessee, they're telling everyone over there that they are going to stop the run this week.
Yep. They're coming down.
And their philosophy under Tim Banks is to F it. We're not letting you run on us. We're going to stop the run. And so you can take advantage of that. So I think there's going to be some value potentially throwing the ball early in this game, especially on early down run downs, play action, catch them maybe behind, try to get behind the second level with a linebacker coming downhill. And then I think later in the game, that's where the problem's going to be for Kentucky. I think throughout the season, Cohen's really good at scripting stuff up. He's good at opening drives, but they have stunk outside of that. Part of the reason to me is after you stop Davis, they just have nothing. They have no core concept they can go to in the passing game. Like to say, okay, we're stuck here. Let's run a slant flat will concept. Like we're good at this. Let's run that. Like, I don't think they have that. Like, I feel like everything is just like a chore for them. Like, they don't have, like, let's go to Wandell over the middle, or let's run it out for Wandell. Let's get him the ball. I don't think they have that in the pass game, and that's their biggest problem to me as an offense. And you got to find that. So, do they find it this week? I don't know. But I do think Kentucky's probably going to score early, but then I think we're going to see the same lulls we've seen where they bog down there in the second half. First half, second half, and then can they do anything in the fourth quarter? I think that's just kind of who they're going to be as a team.
The other point, too, with some of those play actions where they got some stuff over the middle, you've seen the holes where, like, oh, just get a body on somebody. Just get a body on somebody, and they haven't been executing. So I hope that we get a sense of urgency from this offense, because I feel like that's what a lot of it comes down to, right, is just being – very much detailed in, like, hey, this is your job. Now just go do it. Because, man, I forgot who it was that had, they had the screen set up. And if you just get one body on a guy like Davis,
there's been that a few times this year where they couldn't get the screen off. Some of it's on Leary for not being able to, like, to me, some of that's like physical limitation. Like, he's just small. And getting it around those guys is not easy. It's something you kind of have to learn with time. And John Wright with a super chat. Thank you, John. Cohen hit offensive stride down the stretch last time. It's going to happen again. He did. That's very true.
Yeah, and I think, too, that, you know, we might have undervalued Will Levis's intelligence, his ability to just pick stuff up, which shout out to Will.
But even Levis, he struggled. Like that Mississippi State game, if you go back, that was bad. Like, he kind of lost them that game. Like the pick before half, he threw the deep ball to Wandell when he was bracketed. Like he had two bad picks there that kind of ruined scoring drives. You know, the defense was kind of the story that day, but he struggled. I mean, the Florida game, he was bad. Like he had some bad moments, but he turned it on down the stretch. I just think, mate, Nick, I don't think this is the most QB-friendly offense. I don't say how you can say that after what we've seen the last 3 years.
Yeah, fair enough.
So maybe, you know, maybe it's a thing where, one, I think the coaching staff, they probably have to figure out how do we just kind of make it easier on these guys making the transition.
Yeah.
Two, maybe it's they're going to be better off developing guys within their system. So if they're recruiting well, maybe that's the move here moving forward.
Instead of just leaning in the board.
Do it in-house. If you're going to be so committed to this scheme, which it seems like they are. That's just something to monitor. But I do think portal moving forward, Nick, like I think it's probably going to be important, like looking at pro style guys.
I think that's
a box that maybe you didn't think you needed to be checked. Maybe you should highly consider it. Like it should move up maybe the value list.
Yeah, because you can't wait till October to wonder why you can't throw and catch. So Kentucky's going to need to do it Saturday against Tennessee, 7 p.m. kickoff, ESPN. Two more quick things. I love that we got a guy on the board who's Jefferson Pilot Sports. Shout out JP Sports, Three Mics. He thinks it's going to be a rock fight, and I'm kind of feeling the same. We talked about that earlier. And I love that Dave Cornette dropped a talk about for us. Says playing almost exclusively of a soft zone with corners giving the wide receiver 8 to 10 yard cushions. Why? I don't see that much. I feel like it's been less this year than many other years.
I do think they played a little tighter last year, but they had two cornerbacks they really trusted with Carrington Valentine and Keaton Smith, who had played a lot of football. These two corners haven't played a lot of football, and I think they're trying to protect them some. And then you see what happens. They got put out on islands a couple of times the last 2 weeks, and it's not been good. But they are – I will say this about the corners. They're fighting and scrapping and playing hard. Even Phillips, who was having that awful day, Nick.
Yeah.
He gets the pick there at the end. It gets called back because they had, offsides, I think.
Right.
Like, he was fighting throughout that game. And so I think eventually, he's going to win some of these one-on-one battles down the stretch. And we've already seen Hairston. If you're an offense and you want to go after Maxwell Hairston, you can do it. But you just got to know, if you throw at him 15 times, one or two of those things is going back the other way. Because he's finding a way to get hands on balls and get INTs. So if you want to attack him, you can. And
I think that's
why we saw Missouri go so heavy after Phillips. I think they threw that one to Hairston. He tried to do a little hole shot. Hairston makes a really good play, and they were, all right, we're going after 23 now. And so that's a big part of the game. And I think it's going to get Phillips more work. And so we'll see how that kind of levels out. But I do think they're trying to protect him a little bit. And how can you not? I think their bigger problem has been the safety play.
Yeah, it's not been good. Freddie laid out the production Monday on the football podcast.
You don't even need the stats. Just watch the games.
Their names. Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't even see them pop. And then the times we see them pop, it's almost exclusively for something negative happening.
Yeah. It's usually Zion Childress jawing. So
that's just been probably the defense's biggest issue to me. It's been the lackluster safety play, which is not what we expected coming into the season.
Kentucky, 5-8 off the bye under Mark Stoops. Will they get right on Saturday? We'll see. Let's break it down. Let's see how we think the game's going to unfold with our FanDuel single game parlay. We're going to dial it back some this week. We were going with 6 selections. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit, right? Let's just dial it back some. But I think you are going to talk me into one more. I think we've talked ourselves into one more. I'll see how you feel. But I figured
you were going to throw that one on there.
Yeah, but FanDuel.com, it's the place you should place your bets in Kentucky. Bet $5, get up to $200 in bonus bets when you join and you put in promo code KSR on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, the number one sportsbook app in America. Must be 18 and over, present in Kentucky. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. How did the mega under go last week?
Buddy, we almost won that stupid bet.
I got that feeling. I was traveling, and they didn't have as many props in the state I was in, so I couldn't place it. The under got home.
That was fun, and a few of you all, probably a few of you in the chat, were riding that with me, enjoying it, and we were all having a good old time on the tweet machine. That was fun. Because it starts off, Nick, Iowa hits the pass play to get the drive started around midfield. They have they're in plus side. They have a 3rd and 11. Deacon Hill scrambles, just throws a prayer. A guy is all over him, catches it. They review it. He barely toe drags. He makes a great catch. Probably the Iowa play of the year in the passing game. So that sets up, it ends up being a goal-to-goal possession. Minnesota gets a stop. So we get out of we almost lost it first possession. Almost went over 6.5 the first quarter. So we get out of that. And early you realize, one, I was not running the football today. Two, this Deacon Hill passing yards is going to be trouble because they're getting really close. They had 70-something in the second quarter, and it was sitting on 70 for a long time in the second quarter. So you're thinking, man, I don't know if this is going to happen. We needed Iowa to go up by 10 so they can just get run heavy.
Run the ball, yeah.
But the under was never in doubt. Deacon Hill passing yards, he got up to 92, I think, and it sat on that for a while. It sat on 92 all the way until, like, I believe their second to last possession. Gosh. And then he hits a pass when they're down 12-10 to go over. And so we lose it with, I guess, like 3 minutes left to play. But it was
tough.
That was probably the most fun I've had in a losing bet in my lifetime. Like, that was a lot of fun. That's definitely something we should revisit. And got me thinking, like, for these bowl games, Nick.
Oh, man.
We could just do some ridiculous stuff for some of these bowl games.
Oh, you know,
like I just think about, you know, like, who did UTEP play in the Motor City Bowl last year? New Mexico State, like a random game like that,
right? Yeah,
Boca Raton Bowl. Yeah, let's six game, man. Single game parlay. See if we can hit it.
I was just fuming on Tuesday night. Cuse action with Western. First off, that offense coordinator, terrible hire, Tyson Helton. That guy stinks. Like, they just, I mean, it's like, let's just dink and dunk. We've got this great passing attack. Let's just throw it. I bet his average depth of target's like 3 yards. Like, they're just, Austin Reed, we don't want you to throw it downfield. So that when the opportunity presents itself, I took first half money line. They play scared. They miss a field goal and somehow miraculously get the ball back. They get a stop. Has a dude wide open downfield to score the touchdown before half, overthrows him. Next play, they take another shot. They bracket Corley, and it's just interception and double coverage. It's like, you guys, you all stink. I'm done with the tops. I'm out on the tops. The air raid just dinking and dunking. It just can drive me nuts. You got good players. Let's open it up downfield. And now back to our FanDuel single game parlay for this upcoming. We can talk about our bad beats all we want, but I think we got ourselves a good beat on hand. Luckett, what you got for us?
Yeah, Tavian Robinson, under 38.5 receiving yards. Nick, we've talked about this. His numbers in power conference games are not good since he's been at Kentucky. So we're riding that until the production tells us to stop riding it. Ray Davis. 2 touchdowns, Nick, plus 340. I like this here.
Ooh.
Two or more touchdowns. I think if Kentucky gets in scoring territory, that ball's going to him. And they've even shown in the low red zone that they'll just throw it to him down there in big spots. So you've got the pass game value on top of what he can do rushing the football. So give us – and he had – I believe – didn't he have two touchdowns against Missouri. He had 2 touchdowns against Florida. He had 1 touchdown against Georgia, but he's had multiple 2 touchdown games this year. So give us Ray Davis, 2 touchdowns or more, plus 340. And then Joe Milton, under 1.5 touchdowns. We talked about Tennessee's passing game issues. Red zone, they're in the 90s in red zone touchdown percentage, Nick. Like, they're struggling to finish drives. And we've mentioned his run ability. They're going to run it when they get down there. And I firmly believe that. So, and I don't expect Tennessee to hit a bunch of plays over the top. So give us Joe Milton under 1.5 passing touchdowns. And then I believe I know where you're leaning here on the final one.
I know. Let's throw the under in there.
Yeah, just go. What's 51.5 still?
I'm efforting to pull it up right now. Scrolling through the FanDuel app. Cats are night. They're on that late night tip, so, you know, it takes a little bit later. Yeah, 51.5. It's living a little dangerously, but I feel like we got ourselves a rock fight on our hands. So, feeling good about where Brad White's defense is, where their mind's at. I love today that he compared the players-only meeting to punishing your child, which that amused me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sometimes you just – your kid's got a – the way he put it is it's like it's a course correction. You just want them to develop good habits. You know, it's not a one-off, and this is part of developing good habits. So hopefully they get some good habits for this game against the Vols. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on the Pigskin Preview. And, hey, shout-out to Levis. I'm going to get that start against the Falcons, which I don't know if that's the most – coming off the bye week, that's like the ideal time, right? Like, he's not just having to come in and get sacked 5 times like he did – like Malik Willis did over in London. So he at least has some time to get prepared, some time to get some reps with the ones. He's going to look good in those Oilers uniforms, too. Those are going to look sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's hope that works out well. It would be nice if Cats beat the Vols and then Levis was awesome for Tennessee and all the Tennessee fans who just hate him and love the Titans had to deal with it.
That's so great. That I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
that is
yeah.
true.
It's like, oh God, we got to cheer for this guy. Like, yeah, would be great. Would be great. But hey, it's time for us to go. I'm wearing down, running on empty. We're pushing through this kid sickness, and we're gonna get through the finish line and get the Cats home with the win Saturday night against the Vols. For Adam Blackett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.